Ele fez naquele dia passe speaks to me regularly.
Oh, it's a party that...
Party.
It's not the flow process.
No, not the
flow process. Oh, yes. In the I'm saying, Mr. Leroux, you know, internal matters, you don't interfere with them. You leave them the way they are.
If we're out for the funding, we have a big meeting there.
Well, I think let's get into business. Let's get into business, colleagues. Manyanda, una honga mlingwa. Kuna presentation from Esizathu guide. Then the piece of legislation, because doesn't very long without any exception. I think let's start, and the approach really was that we must deal with, we'll be just dealing with them in a sequential way. That when we get to chapter 1, we never really saw, we never raised at that time any area where we thought that there should be amendments in terms of what you think. But of course, I think we'll be getting views from the experts on this matter and see what should happen. The situation may change, Mr. Afrimata. It may change. Is there any issue that the colleagues would want to raise at that level? If none, on chapter 2, completely raised an issue. An issue, it was around the 4B, where an intervention happened and a municipality is dissolved. The issue that was raising, which the law, the constitution, is silent about it, is whether when it dissolves, what happens to the structures that are interfacing with the people, the old committees. What happens to the old committees? Because the old committees are structures that are supposed to represent the people, but they are chaired by the old councillor. The old councillor is gone, it's dissolved. What happens to the interface? It doesn't mean that that council or an administrator, a person who came in the place of a councillor, or the council, does that person stop communicating with the people? Does that person create new structure? Or the person assume chairpersonship of all the ward committees, or appoint chair, whatever that it might be? Because our responsibility in this parliament is to represent the people. First and foremost, our interest that we represent the people and in particular ourselves as NCOP, we represent the interests of provinces. Now, Mr. Africa will raise this issue. Now, can you assist us on how this thing is handled? Because we would want to ensure that as we go along, we are able to ensure that this matter is handled in a way that is satisfactory to all. over to Mr. Africa on this one.
I think it's interesting. Maybe if I can also just before I start to get, we can also just confirm how you'd like to manage the issue. And I'm asking a case because as Kali said, CBA has once again created a presentation which is essentially based on the issues that we've done before. So obviously here we are quite happy if we don't take it as a given that we don't need to do that overview presentation and look into the issues that you're proposing. But I hope I'd like to be very explicit about that so that if you want us to do that overview again, we also today to kind of do that. But otherwise here, I mean you are ready to kind of dive into the future. Let me take a first shot at your question and the comment that was very previous. I think what we were saying in our previous interaction with the committee, and I think we will continue to say the same thing, is that when the municipality is under a 159 intervention, all the legislative and the executive responsibility basically are suspended. I mean, that's what it means in practice. But as you correctly said, Chair, that the administrator that is appointed basically assumes that particular authority. And as a consequence, what that means for a water committee, and again we were trying to explain that the water committee does not have executive responsibility in municipality. What we mean by that is that a water committee in law does not have formal authority to either take decisions or to execute decisions on behalf of the municipality. Our committee is an advisory structure in terms of our legislation. It is composed of different sectors and segments of our community, and views and opinions are received from that community. And again, as you said, these things are then communicated to the municipality via that counselor. Now, I'm saying that to come to the question, when the municipality then is under what is now an intervention, quite clearly then a counselor does not have that formal authority that they would have if they were not under 159, because the entire council has been suspended. But at the same time, Chairperson, my view is that there is nothing stopping a board committee from continuing to function. And the reason why I'm saying that is because precisely because it has an advisory responsibility. So they can continue to give their views to the administrator. And quite frankly, I think the council can continue to play that facilitatory role. I think the primary issue that you have probably should stress here is that when the municipality is under what is denying intervention, then the council does not sit and consider the views of the water committee, precisely because it has been suspended. So those views go directly to the administrator. So in some cases, yes, you're also correct. The law is not explicit on these things that you're talking about now, but at the same time, the view that I'm giving, and the people from the state law, and I talk to my colleagues here, but I'm giving a view that says there's nothing stopping a work committee from continuing to give its view on a range of issues, but those views obviously now would be forwarded to the administrator, in which authority has now been vested. Thank you.
Man, you'll follow completely. You'll follow Mr. West. But let's hear from the administration if they want to make any additions to what has been made, the input made by the session. Any additions? If none, sure.
I can agree with my colleague, Mr. Africa. In fact, for the work committee, to be effective, there must be a council. The council has that executive authority. Also, that doesn't necessarily mean that the work community cannot operate in an advisory service, in an advisory capacity. But I'm a little bit hesitant on that thing, because sometimes the work committees may need a budget to make their operations. So the question is, where are they going to get that budget if the council is not operating? That's why I'm having a question mark on that thing of operation, whether the council is operating in the existence.
All right. Well, if they go to all of us, we'll talk about it. Mre.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree that you take the envoy and the impact from the president in the way. He was abandoned on two occasions in the day. It was otherwise the president of the day. I think that we still need to start on. I don't know how to use the out of pocket thing. Now that is on block 6 that is the option 4. The out of pocket expense which we should be supposed now. This will be part of the budget, but we tell it out of pocket expense. Is there any reason why are we calling that out of pocket? Because usually, what committees are at the mercy of something. When I look at this work committee, how they are being assisted, it reminds one of what the Honorable is doing today about the what we call the CTS in the police. Who collects the funds will rely on the very certain and after oversight. And this one does well, they rely on the very people they must have aside on for a few projects to get some information from the community. And they're lying on the very same people to pay them to do their work. Is there nothing we can do to do something better than what we might have here in this part of context? Taking the question of why are we coming in there? Now, leaving this session, I want to draw your attention to the position of chapter 3, the specific block 13 or 20 on page 5. Now, here it says, I think we have to get some assistance for the class. In November 10th session, we passed a the public service, whatever ministry, which says that you can only lose your position as a public servant. Immediately you are declared an MPL counselor or whatever. That's when you lose your position. That's a deal you passed last year, sent by the minister yourself to the public committee. Here in the local government department, they are saying immediately you got a certificate that you are a candidate. Srimata Rai Ji. There are two departments, same government, even different government. Who is Kudu?
Same government.
Yes. Same thing. Now, the question is here, because we why to agree that you can't have it both ways? But let it be verified by this party. Because if it's not verified according to this clause, 7.1a, well, that's verified. Or, there is this department called the Dara Department, which is party, to immediately bring some amendment that keep you in line with what I'm saying. Because I imagine you said that, because you know, today when we pass the Faculty of Studies Amendment, you correctly stated the one for saying that in terms of official who must lose their position in the Faculty of Studies. Now, if you are against the person who goes to the same college to say, you can only, you now lose your position immediately you are candidate. The same person. This one is just by the person. For now, those are the two predictions. Those are not those two effects. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Imrana. I think they are pointed, you know, they are focused. Yeah. Now, what's this?
Thanks, Chapman. I just want to highlight it that to the department. When we raise questions, we raise them with the hope that they will go back to their counterpart and have and to check what we have asked, so that when they come here, so that they will be able to advise us appropriate. But now you find that talking as if you are just talking to them now. It seems as if they did not put any research or need somewhere. I would say for what he has said about the budget, I think the budget will come from the council, because let's say the administrator is taking over. It means that he has to continue giving the resources to the white community. But my worry is that he is saying there is nothing which prevents them functioning. How are they going to function without the chairperson? Because I think the chairperson calls the meeting. He's the one who calls the meeting and formulates the agenda. So that they can function. So that they can function bringing all the concern of the community. Now the council is suspended. Are we meaning that we can continue sharing the work committee even if it is suspended by the council? Because maybe let's start with to check, I mean in law, whether it should be correct that the council continues sharing, because if you look at the news of Federal Party, he continues being part of the community, not in the part of the government. So maybe we have to look at those things. In fact, our opinion that the department will come up with some way forward, and if not have this assuming the
requirements. And I'm telling you, they are going to come with all of us will come with solutions. That's why when Tate looks for success, negotiation, and therefore Tate is going to be affected. Mr. White will follow Babu Deru.
Thanks. I just want to put a bit of clarity on this. In terms of section 159 of the case, normally there is more noise of what that means like these days. An intervention takes place, as I understand it, if an intervention takes place at the present state, would be to look at the 6 months, and the object of that intervention would be to try and stabilize the use of that. There could be all sorts of things, maladministration or whatever, and then normally it gets handed back again, as I understand it, to the counselors who were elected. And then it carries on again, and if another intervention must take place, so be it. But now, according to this, it's more than a year ago before municipal elections, the NEC has got the right to dissolve that council and call for fresh elections. What is preventing the role being a state and a municipality with these two factions? And the NEC of that province says, no. Let's declare the elected council is null and void, and we're going to have a fresh election. Is that, as my understanding and interpretation, where there is more than a year to go before the next municipal election?
Thank you very much, Mr. Levin.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. Exactly on the same issues that Paul spoke to us, as far as the Water Committee is concerned, I think we must have much firmer rules on that and also cap on what can be spent and on what can be spent. And then the question of the resigning, I agree fully with Paul. We must certainly needn't resign until he's been elected, because he could be put on long leave or anything like that. I think that's wrong. But then on towards 19, no councillor may be party to or beneficiary under a contract for the provision of goods and services to the union service. And we have a position in this case where the Fourth Farmers Factory, which is a huge factory, employs 7,000 people. And we've always had a member of the staff on the council in Utah and now in the metro. Now, Volkswagen also supplies vehicles to the metro. And I think it is unfair to disallow a person working for Volkswagen to become a counselor simply because the Volkswagen has contact with the counselor. We can get clarity on that too.
All right. Mama, yeah.
I'd like to send in 2021. Not that member but we are here to bring
I was in one meeting people were raising an issue of saying why do you have head of department, head of interest? why don't they choose that if you want to be a business man, become a business person. If you want to be a public servant, become a public servant. See a car. No interest. And they responded to the issue, said, we go and catch a business. You know, like Mackenzie, in case of justice, the one Mackenzie, the fact that the CFO said a businessman, that businessman cannot do his business things and so on to come and assist government, you know, in partnership. Or a person has an interest, you can't say the person must stop it. What is done is that you must declare your interest. They are known. And you cannot give contracts on the same line area. And the other thing is that when issues are being determined, where you have a conflict, you must recuse yourself. That's how it goes. It ends there. Now, Mr. Manuel, the Minister of Finance, said there should be no public authorities who benefit from local government. or your spouse, whatever, you know, this thing at home, there's no benefit there at all. Even if you're bad from that economic activity, the fact that it's a public relationship. Which many argues in line with the view that says you can't pay twice. You know, if you are an MP, you sit in the board of local government or provincial government, whatever. You go there without, you don't repay. You can't be in the same coffer, pay twice. And even in this case, then you can't have interest. It's something that I don't think Rindy was more engaged at a political level. He just came with it and he spoke it very openly and aggressively, and he was like, now you must find that this goes in line with that. But no, I'm just getting a story.
Thank you, Chief. I think I've been covered by a lot, but there's one area was the invoking of 139 and then board committee being dysfunctional. But there's the other area that plagues the wisdom tax. And the opposition says, well, it's good for democracy to have the markerless municipalities. But when you get a ward committee councillor suspended, then all of those ward committees stop. How is that then covered? Because you still have the force of the municipality is still functioning. It's not under 139, but that particular council has been suspended by his party, so he's withdrawn from council. Now we're waiting on a by-election. And by-election in the Western case goes hand in hand with court cases. So that's filling that election, that ward council takes a year or two while that ward committee is standing still and it all functions. This is what we are having, especially in reference to Beaufort West. We have six ICOSA NPP councillors fighting a court case now for almost a year. And nothing is happening there outside of council. But council is something because there's still a quorum. But now there's no one attending to that ward for delivery. So you have, I'm just thinking, you have proportional councillors. And I'm thinking, can't you put them in just to make those ward committees run? I'm just trying also to get a solution. Because at the moment, delivery is quite slow.
Thank you very much, Commander. Well, I think the issue of the public that elects the council is supposed to be at the foremost of our minds. Meaning that whether the council is dissolved or not dissolved, the people must be part of the life of the council. I think that's the principle of the mistake. Meaning that whether the council is dissolved or a councillor is suspended, the people must be part of the life of that council, their council, the village. It means then you must be able to come with ideas that are responding to that. That's a principle. The other thing is that, you know, I've not checked the system that I must look at it, but you have lawyers here who must be able to have all these resources. You know where an ordinance of 1939, that ordinance was very explicit, that when can a councillor not be a councillor? Amongst other things, that a councillor was supposed to have been dismissed by the party. No longer a member of the party, for that councillor not to represent the party. It means if they are still in some sort of suspension and so on, that person could be in the party. Well, there's no determination that has been made against the councillor. They will continue. Up until you are dismissed, you are no longer a member. You can't represent the party in public. But when you are suspended, it has nothing to do with the government. That's what the ordinary will say. In relation to what you are saying, Comrade Knight. Now, I'm not sure they must be saying that in relation to what you are raising, because I think it must be that spirit that we must be able to answer that question. Because the failing of our refusal is that happens is nothing. If we are not strong on the topic, we couldn't represent them. Now, it means then we have to say, I suppose that when a council is dissolved, a ward committee should continue to elect an SPH, SPH of the council, of the ward committee. When a councillor of that ward is whatever the law says, the ward committee should continue to function and elect an acting chair until an election takes place in that ward and the new ward councillor is installed. Then the acting chair will withdraw. In that way, you ensure that the leadership and the continuity. Of course, what you don't address is that this person will not be able to sit in the council. But it tells you that this person in terms of law has a locker stand in relation to being taken care of and taken seriously by the council because he's a leader in that area. To me, I think that what we must be looking at in that spirit in relation to this.
But, the other thing is that we don't have a way to replace
To me, I think maybe what we can strike a balance in terms of what the department wants to see, the city movement on the scene. Meaning that we can address things that we can address now, right? That is this issue of dissolution, suspension, and so that the continuity. Maybe we don't engage much on the what is replacement in the event it disappears. But when you deal with the white paper, then it means we dedicate a section on public participation. That is dedicated, you know, that covers quite a lot of things, given the experience that will change over time, including the thing of replacing people when they are removed and so on. I think we must be able to look at that as we go along in relation to this. But I would like then, Baba Elroy, when we respond to issues raised, that also you must touch on that thing raised by Mam Manyanda, which is on the amendment that you are making there in Susan that says that no staff member of the municipality on 1.3, that you should talk to that intention and so on. Mama?
I heard you talking about the content looking suspended or no more content, but the work committee is functioning. Where is this work committee going to report? I heard whether it's one of the members saying they will report directly to the administration. And who will be in charge for that committee to when report? Because there are so many. And the person who was in charge the council, and the council is no longer there. I just wanted to clarify.
No, what happened, Mamanyanda, is that Babu Novello Mayor raised an issue around his area where we were supposed to have been. If you're in the meeting last time, the minister was reporting that they were reporting that three councillors have been suspended.
Yeah.
Not dismissed. Suspended.
No,
they didn't get dismissed.
We're waiting on a violation, and they now appeal.
Yeah. Means they're challenging the case. Now, what was raised then was that in that case, you find that the ward are not giving attention
there's no representation in that area. Even the whole committee is non-functional. There was a huge call. Now, what the Hotel of Fame must address must be strong on that, in ensuring that despite the those dismissals and so on, the people don't suffer. You can't have the masses suffering because of an individual, of the misbehavior of an individual. It was the limit control, really. The can't just behave well and so on and all that. They have to control the taken care of. Now that the Hotel of Fame will be engaged, we'll find a solution, all of us here. We're just choosing these issues and so on for engagement. But we want to see them that they are okay. Advocate?
Yes, I just want to agree with what you said, because that there is a gap and it needs to be incorporated. But just on the word of, on page 821, in respect of the staff members, a caution before I get to the word that I want to comment on. No staff member, I think that would be quite superfluous if we don't extend that to family, because staff members can get away with putting things in children and spouse's name. But in the second line it says, a beneficiary under contract for the provision of goods and services. I think there we should say goods or services, for either goods or services.
Yeah. Of course, if you say goods and services, it means you can only stop if they're both.
Yes.
They go together. But if you're saying this one or that one, it means the next catches you on this one and so on, catches you the next. And also they are saying then that you must ensure that this thing of family spouse and all that is looked at. I think, we're dealing with that law, the chapter. We have taken now these chapters, chapter 2, then move also to chapter 3, when we're dealing with this issue. Meaning that Umbabu Afrika must talk to us about that and the team. Because when we talk about Umbabu Afrika, we're not talking to him. Only as an individual. He represents the collective. He is a plural. He says, and I think Babu Afrika knew that last time we were raising an issue very strongly on chapter 3, on point 11, particularly 11.6a, on the fixed term of contract of this people, which we're saying that is too long, it takes away the time for the party to remove you. You know, there's a thing of everlasting, that you must ensure that the stability in government, which is a good intention, that a person must be there for a year after election. It means when you take over Cape Town, as an example, the municipal manager appointed by Mayor Zille, the municipal manager appointed by Mayor Zille must remain there for a year. You have this person that you don't like. It means blood. You see that person was appointed. Yeah, she likes Mkoko. It's mine that you can't tolerate Mkoko here. Now, if you see this person every day for a year, it becomes. He has all the power of the Swiss fellas for a year. It becomes too much for the three handles. Now we are saying we cannot do a handover for a year. It's too much for a year. You know, every day you do this handover for a year. It's too much. It's something that yeah, we said you must look at the 6 months. At least that within 6 months you can do it with handover. And it allows the council to advertise, appoint, and so on, right? And so it promotes efficiency in the council. That people must do things on time. You know, they know that we're taking over Cape Town, the way it is declared, the way it is declared, that it is taken over. Then, of course, you just move in to say you have to the municipal manager who advertises. So, we move in. Now, so this thing is done speedily. That's what has been raised. Now, let's allow Bob Elroy to yourself to respond with your team.
On this issue. You know, thank you. A lot of my colleagues who are coming out today wanted to initial comments and information. If I can maybe start with the issue of out-of-pocket expenses and leverage clause. Maybe you might just say what I told you what we were trying to kind of deal with here. What we were trying to deal with was, well, firstly to recognize that work committees will have out of pocket expenses, and let me also add the term out of pocket property expenses is quite a common term that is used in basically serves to sundry expenses like traveling and overnight accommodation. Other incidental expenses. So it's not a term that we but the point that we were really trying to make is that when those incidental expenses arise, we were simply trying to make it very explicit that must be covered from the budget of intelligence. So we were actually making that kind of formal link. Now, I'm explaining that here because I was listening to the comment and the question, and I thought I would like to think that you're saying exactly the same thing. Because we were simply formalizing that. We were saying that the budget of a work committee is not public decision. They must not come from anywhere else. There must be a question that arises where does it come from. We are saying that it must come from the budget of strategy. So I thought we were saying the same thing. If there's a question simply around the phrasing, and we quite clearly said that I'm sure we can find different language to be put out of the extent. But it really refers to these sundry expenses that I was referring to. So that's the first comment, Chair. Now, there was the comment around let me come to this issue around the stock having to resign. Now, again, I think the kind of background is very clear insofar as, you know, it's very unfortunate that from DGFA they came up with a different recommendation on a similar matter. And I think the kind of explanation that you were giving previously was really an explanation that centered around arguments of good corporate governance. And those were the only explanations that they had to be given. And we were trying to explain, in a lot of action, we were trying to explain the kind of scenario where an official stands for election. The one scenario is that the official does not get elected. And then that person has to obviously continue working within the administration. And we were just saying that could, you know, create a very difficult governance situation where for particular period this person was campaigning. There was also a question of resources that could or could not be drawn from the municipality. So those kinds of explanations. But I think we concluded our submission to the committee. I say that quite clearly we will abide by the final view of the committee. And I think there was also a view expressed to say that we need to check the constitutionality of this. Now I think we will get the state law advisors to comment on that if they manage to look at that. So in summary, Chair, on that particular matter, I'm simply reminding the committee to say our motivations are really centered around matters of good governance. But I think there's also a recognition which you can now say explicitly that you can regulate the system. Get some regulations in place to manage that an interim period, for example. And somebody was already saying that he can protect us from the so I'm saying maybe we just need to recognize that, the view of the committee is that officials do not have to resign. Then I think maybe as a department, what we would say is that we would agree with that position, but having agreed, then I would like to get the committee to agree to say that we need to put in law, either in primary legislation or in regulations, we need to find a way of regulating that period. We need to get clear regulations in terms of how those officials need to conduct themselves. So I think that would then be my view on that particular issue. Coming to the third issue around procurement and listing of staff as a benefit to help someone. Again, our intention here was a very simple one. And again, I think Chairperson, you have given us a bit of background. What we were simply trying to do as departments was to align our legislation with the regulations of the Municipal Finance Management Act, MFMA. Currently, there are regulations in the MFMA that precisely come to this matter of officials from any tier of government or any public residence of government benefiting. So the chairperson actually was what you're doing, the intention was to align what we're doing here. But I think you're also correct to now point to a different issue, which is what is the policy rationale that you understand it. And quite frankly, I think that the municipality obviously is an legal prerogative to get a debate, the kind of policy rationale that can sit behind that. But from the department side, we were simply trying to align with the department's finance. What they already have as a regulation. As you're sitting here right now, it is currently a regulation. So if the committee takes a particular view on this matter, which is different, then let me also say, Chairperson, it will have a consequential effect on those other regulations that currently have the case of law. So our intention was a very straightforward one, and that was the issue of alignment, Chairperson. Coming to the fourth issue around Section 139, and I'm not going to deal with all the issues, but my colleagues can come in. Again, I thought you were assisting us here. The question has arisen, what happens to ultimacy, what happens to a council that's facilitating care of ultimacy when this council has been put under administration? I thought the one view that was emerging, which I see and logic and sense, they can't even consider a clause that says that the administrator, because we must recall now when a municipality is in all the power of the municipality in the administrator. Can't even the doctor's position, as I think the same chairperson, that the administrator then will appoint an acting chairperson for the city ultimately. What that means is that the ultimate will continue in the charge of function. So I thought that was a good suggestion. But then I also thought, there was another scenario that was pointed out when a council that is sustained, a particular individual council is sustained, not when the entire municipality is under a 1-1-9 convention. Again, I thought we can adopt exactly the same principle, that the full council can appoint an acting chairperson for the ultimacy, which is different to that board councillor that has been put in. So I thought this year, those were the kinds of suggestions that I can come through. My second last issue, I think, issue of good board service, but I think that will take on, we would agree. But obviously links to the broader policy rationale behind that other issue. Then the final issue, Chairperson, under Chapter 3 that was raised here, is this matter of the extension of the contract of the municipal manager by a period of 1 year. Now, I think that the first point to make here is that we are in full agreement with the committee that the initial change is to allow for the principal agreement with. In fact, we allow the view that 2 years is not all. We don't need that kind of 2 years here. So I think the only thing that we're now debating is whether it should be 1 year or 6 months. And quite frankly, I don't think we would insist that it must be 12 months. I think the principle would agree, it doesn't have to be 2 years, we need to shorten it. That is what we need to do. And we just thought that 1 year of one way of also nuancing this point is to say that it cannot be extended by a maximum of 21 years. I'm just saying there's a different way of kind of treating this. But just because of the view that you make 6 months that the future. Chairperson, let me stop here. Let me ask my colleague to add and
I think you've covered all the major issues there. But I think I also want to reiterate the view that the chief has made that under the war activity issues, quite a lot of good suggestions have been made. But the department is working on a data looking at public participation. And wanting to look at really the public participation. When that campaign is ready, the department should actually do a presentation on what are some preliminary outcomes of that discussion. So that then the committee has a chance to present well into it the preparation, some of the lessons we've made. I also agree with the chairperson that the white paper should place emphasis on the issue of public participation so that something happens gets addressed. On the issue of the staff of participating in elections, well, we did engage with the stakeholder advisors and during December, and they endeavored I think Maluti can talk to them. As I said, it was a matter of governance issues, and but I'm going to take those guys and I don't think I have anything else to
Bob.
Yes, of course. Tell you what I want to say. Let's of course have to do with a different instruction from the department concerning this clause 16.3 specification. When we considered the instruction, we took into consideration the public service amendment act of the Republic is still being there. In agreement with the honorable member, when he said that there must be uniformity, the fact that there was no setting then regarding the public service amendment. So we prepared an opinion, it's just a preliminary view, but in principle, we didn't see anything unconstitutional regarding that clause, but at the same time, we feel that for the sake of uniformity, since there are rumors are flying that there is single public service, anyway, we are often seeing on that if the commission wants to change to be in line with the public service amendment, we don't have a problem with that. But I don't know whether the commission will still need our opinion regarding that clause. But we had constitutional issues.
Thank you very much. Well, I must tell you, Mokoloba, that we have, I've given a notice to Mr. Lazo. That this year we're dealing with a single public service. And this is becoming thick and fast. Therefore, it's something that I'm sure you must prepare yourself for that process of engagement. Therefore, it is coming. It's no longer the same now. Well, I think, let's say, I don't think there are disagreements on issues. In fact, I like what is said by Elroy. We should go down the history as knowing the roles and responsibilities. between the executive, the legislature, and I think of course the judiciary, that these three branches have roles and responsibilities. That you know that this bill is within our power to make any amendment that we want to make. There's nothing beyond that. It's us who decide that. You know, we've met sometime with some officials from some departments, which I won't mention, but I think committee members know. They push their ideas, ran down the throat. And you find this, you know, they defend the office of them. You find that at times it irritates members because they really, you won't find that they take your own role. And the executive then undermines the role of the legislature in the process. The separation of power principle. That is enshrined in our constitution. But I think the way you take it to say, no, the reason for engaging this control, when they make amendments, you're aware, you understand the implication, you bounce off the ideas, what might be implication in terms of so on, in terms of what you do. But of course, the power rests with us to do that. Now, I'm sure that opposed to a good approach. You know, you say, no, these are our views, but at the end of the day, we decide what how things are. But we express our opinions, which is a good thing. Now, I think going back then is to say, because we started at this issue of Section 4, on Chapter 2, Section 4, Subsection G, where we're talking about a dissolution. That's in the event that happens. You must be looking at the issue of saying the council, the people must participate, and I think we've came with ideas that you are saying that the administrator must be given the right to appoint an individual acting separately in that itself. Also, we say that in the event a councillor is dismissed by a party, or councillor, that we are saying that a council as a body must appoint an acting chair in that ward, so that the people are continuously engaged in that respect. There's no vacuum that happens. Which I think those ideas are quite progressive. Mr. Leroux?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Mustaud. If we say that the council must appoint somebody to take charge of that ward committee, must we not then protect political parties? Because we don't want the council, say that it's just be a council that
moves.
We not then make it that a VA council should then take charge of the ward.
Otherwise, you
might have an extra fighting in the council.
Whether
it was an
AFC
guy now,
that
he wants to
put a VA guy in charge. And you can do that in the case. When you are given power, you run with
it. But you remember when we were in Makuru, where there was a fight in Iran, where the council was dissolved. And then we said to watch. The white community member. Then they said, no, the white community member participated in the council, not working. And then, but they went outside, the very same council, and they started saying, whom are we going to appoint to represent the white community? Then there was a question from the other group: how do you determine to appoint a white community here in that place, in that general. There was no answer, just fighting, just such as punching the other one, asking which criteria you're going to use to appoint a white community here. So it's even good to them how to replace a white community member when he has resigned or something like that, because it's very touched. How do you identify a committee member? Because maybe the way you're going through the meeting and electing these people now, if you're not using that, how are you going to determine them? How are you going to make them?
No, I think what is being raised, and I'm talking about, I understand the point, is that Mr. Leroux says, in table's view, their table's view, the world is owned by the DA. Now the World Councillor is suspended or dismissed by the DA. Now you want to appoint an acting chair who must lead a martial resources. You find that the ANC say, yeah, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Want to penetrate the area. And therefore, the best way of doing it, you are going to appoint this ward councillor in the area. Because in the council, we are a majority. Then we appoint the person there who is an acting chair. Then in that way, we are able to advance our cause there. Vice versa can happen, that it is only the same term, the majority, with the college, the college. You want the old council in Kalisha, that you want the old council, so that they advise the court. Now I'm saying then, what he's saying is that, because these world committees are structures, are people who must come from sectoral organizations, that are political parties, and protect their elected ward committees by a party that is governing that ward, literally, classical sense. That the ward councillor is the one that calls meetings and ensure that people are elected at that level. Of course, mobilize and all that. But at the end of the day, these are the advisors of the ward councillor by his nature. Now, it says then that component must be protected. That in Kailasha, the ANC must be protected, that it is able to appoint an acting person who is ANC, literally, you're saying that, what you're saying in the nutshell. Vice versa. So it doesn't undermine a democratic process of the people who have gone to elections and appointed the person, those are suspended, therefore, can't just change without undergoing elections. Right? It means you must fight by election. For you to have a right to have your own people. That's what it's saying. Which I think is a principle there, in a way. Independent is the one that is left there. Because it is just a word of independence. It's the independent that does that. Now, he said, let's look at protecting that. Now, we have experts here. We're coming with ideas. You go and translate the ideas into a legal channel. That must be here. But I think you understand the answer in terms of the approach that you want to take to say too much protection. And I think let's engage in that principle. We agree with it as raised by Ulokos, Mr. Leroux, Honorable Leroux.
I added the idea of maybe using a proportional representative. So, not an acting person from outside, a proportional counselor from that particular party. It still has the connection of a counselor being the chair.
I just left. I mean, I think we're leaving it open.
Okay.
People can take a counselor, whatever they do.
Oh.
But it's open.
Okay.
That's why we won't regulate that. We're leaving it open. But what we want to say is that the people must continuously be consulted in the area. They must not be isolated and marginalized. Now, we agree with the principle raised by Mr. Leroux that you don't come with something at the back door. You have no coffee. It's at the back door. You don't fight elections. For you to have a leader in that area, then you must ensure that that is protected. That's where the principle is raised.
The president will be appointed with the
You hear it, Mr. Laro, that says if you are in your area, it's cable view, there's no way that the council will, the ward committee, because it is assumed that the ward committee, when the council is dissolved, or there's a dismissal of the council in that area, that the ward committee is placed to take it like that. Therefore, it means what Baramseg is saying is that it is assumed that these people who are there have been constituted by the TA council. Therefore, they must be consulted when the process of appointing an acting chair is undertaken. Of course, then they'll be able to articulate the view aligned to the TA. That means. It means the principle says that when the administrator or the council appoints an acting chair, that must be done after consulting the whole committee in place. It means then you are not in consultation, after consultation. You reveal them in the presence of the council. I think that's what has been raised as a principle in terms of taking the process at that level. Colleagues, I think then we are back to that one. On the dissolution or on the dismissal, whether there's a virtue in that area at a broader level. Then with the other issue raised here, of course, is an issue around out-of-pocket expenses raised by Baumgren in saying, is that a appropriate term? Mr. Afrika says no, this thing is a used term. And it's a terminology, the local government, or even the business. They use the out-of-pocket expenses to cover what you really abuse from yourself in terms of undertaking the task that is given to you. That is not a bad term. However, he says this is maybe a colleague or colleagues have a better term to express that. They must do so. And I think the other thing that we raised is that we are saying here they'll determine a criteria, these people, on how these on how these things are done. It means then we are saying then a policy has to be developed, which of course must be. Was Mr. West raised an issue last time to say that there's a poor municipality, because these people sometimes they want the, you know, you go to them and say these are the parameters of a salary of a country. Parameters. They take the top, the last. And that's what they do. They want the best of the best. A roll of one. They don't want the Toyota Corolla. Now, even in this case, what was raised by Mr. West in earlier discussions, when we discussed it, he said, no, what happens then? How do you control the fact that people are going to pay extra budget in a way they pay people, although they are poor as a country? Then that's why then I think in covering that, my proposal would be really to say that once this law is enacted, every municipality must develop a policy in relation to the payment of the out-of-pocket expenses. And these policies will be monitored by, you can say, MSCs and NCPMG at the national level. So there's uniformity in the approach. So that we are able to say here, because we're monitoring the policy, you're out of line. Here you're in line, but we leave that to them. But the task is more of monitoring intervention on areas where there's extra vacant in a way that you conduct their business. meaning that there must be clear policy that is transparent. We are talking about the criteria here, clear policy that is transparent, that is known, that you follow this and so on, for you to pay these expenses in cash. But then that we are saying that must be monitored by yourself and the MECs of local government in various provinces in the development of the policy. To me, I think that helps a great deal in terms of ensuring that that element is covered. Who's with experience? I mean, we can't pretend that we don't know how far the council can go in terms of trying to look after their own interests. I'm saying then it's something that I think we must look at. Mrena, do you want to suggest... Okay. Can you agree on that then, that you'll translate that in terms of when putting this in a local jargon here, but you understand the approach and the principle. That's what we're talking about. Mr. Raru?
Just to think again, you want to leave this to regulations afterwards. You want to leave the clause like this and to put the cap on the regulations, right?
Yes, we are saying there must be very good policy that must ensure, that must be monitored by province and national. Meaning that when the policy is there, you are able to intervene. You are raising another issue.
Yeah.
The same as in regulation. This idea of D is a good idea. You know, there's always a difference which I think the executive is going to lose on this one around the amendment of the money bill. And the constitution says that you'll amend the money bill. And the executive will need actions. It says you can't have a situation like Kenya. You know, in Kenya they have this war system, right? Parliament. Now they allocate money according to war in Kenya. Meaning that the MP who has the strongest voice, who can engage, gets the back in terms of whatever. That's not how they will fight. In fact, you can't allow a situation where then budgets are dealt with like that. Which you are raising an issue here, I mean, which you are like, are raising like Kenya here. To say, you know, people in the world, they can have the right to the money. Which I think Jonathan was doing that, giving a million or some more per world for you to be able to have some budget. It acts as an incentive. Other people, what they do, they say, in your area, if your ward is collecting revenue in terms of rates and taxes and services, some portion of it is retained in the ward. The intention is to encourage people to pay, what I think is billions now. It's a lot of billions. I think it's over 30 billion. That is owed by the people of the local government. They don't pay for revenue. How much? Yeah. That is owed by the city. Now this thing acts as an incentive to say, in your own, if you are encouraging to pay, some portion comes to you, then you develop the area. It's an incentive that encourages good behavior. Now I'm saying, I think this approach is a good approach. Then you can have Mrena, the same executive, speaking differently. At a local level, you are saying, Mr. Africa, no, incentives must be there. At a national level, you are saying, no, then don't the Kenya side. It's not correct in terms of the approach, but I'm saying, I think to me it's quite encouraging. It's a good progressive part of legislation which really empowers the people. Because the empowerment is not only the word of mouth, but about resources that improve the area and the cause. Any different view, Mr. Leroux, when you award in terms of you have the money to allocate us the national health department? It seems, I think, we're one on this one. You know, this thing, then we must move to the issue of this man. Yeah, but I think we'll come back to this one maybe tomorrow, Mr. Abel. This one of the notices around finance and so on. You know, when you have a managing area, then you look at that and so on. We'll come back to it. Let's go where we can deal with it now. Tomorrow, we'll come back to it. We'll engage the department. It would be nice to hear them engaging. then we go to the issue of the chapter 3 on the on 11 section 11 subsection 6A on the sixth term of employment. We agree with the high tiers. In fact, we want to change this thing, even in the public sector. This one is for in the public sector, many PGs or people in the SMS are employed on a 3-year contract. You know that, Mr. Affleck? Three years.
Most.
It varies, yeah. You know, it depends how vocal you are and the relationship that you have with your boss.
With the
education. Now, you find that, I mean, this 3 years is nothing. When you look at the person, you must perform because it takes time to learn, it must to understand everything. So, before you know it, you ask. Now, I think there will be an increasing need in the 5 years. I'd say this one also is progressive, 5 years. Everybody is contented. It doesn't depend on the whims of the colleagues and so on. And I think this handover period also is quite progressive to say, no, this is smart. I think it must apply even to the whole public service. Now, Mr. Africa was saying, we agree on the length of 2 years is too much. The area now is about whether 2 years. 6 months. He says, no, it's not married to 6 months, 12 months. It means 6 months might win the day. Is that a feeling with the spirit of the police? That 6 months is enough to it. I think we've taken care of that one. Whilst we're discussing, then we engaged on the issue raised by on the clause that deals with before we come to that, let's deal with the issue of Clause 13, that the feeling here is that people must, the feeling of the members is that once you are elected, then it's when you can cease the employment. However, Mr. Africa is raising a very important point. If you read the papers of yesterday, the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal was very angry. angry because the PPG in his office is forming her own party. He says, no, forming her own party is in my law. It means you are using my resources to form your own party. Now, let's assume then that this person, let's assume that the party, let's leave the party, because the party, new party is not something that we knew how to act out of possibility. Let's take what is existing. This PPG, let's assume then, or a TG. As it happened here, the chief of the commissioner, the provincial commissioner, who joined the IG. Now you as the head of the department there in my office. I'm the minister. Let's take what's in the car, quite a classical case. You find that that head of department joins the ISP from the ANC and campaign on a daily basis for the ISP. You meet on the 36th. It's a boss with his official. They meet on the 36th. Address the people. The official contradicts you in the meeting and say, no, what you are saying is not true. This government is not delivering. I am deployed there. The policies of this party are wrong. In a meeting. Are wrong. And they expect me to implement the policies of this party. Which then helps. I'm a functional. In the battlefield. Now every day you must see this official in your office. And do work for government. Because he can't resign. He's not elected yet. He's not elected yet. He can't resign. But you meet on the battlefield every day, even your colleagues. They tell you, hey, your official is messing us up. Eh? They tell you, hey, your official that you have employed is messing us up. What do you do? Now, I'm saying to me then, something that Mr. Africa was saying, it must be regulated. Although you must not resign in employment, but there must be a way of handling so that the relations are not undermined in that process. Now, I'm not sure, colleagues, what you think about that. Because these are real situations. Right? They are going to happen. It has happened with the police commissioner who,
I think a lot of the said on that one, I think the Public Service Amendment Act makes provision for code of conduct so that the official can adhere to that code of conduct. I think this is a model in flawed situation.
Yes.
I don't know
the Act, yeah. The Code of Conduct does cover it. And I agree that perhaps the committee can consider a policy issue as Mr. Africa raised in line with perhaps compulsory leave for a month prior or something like that, whether it's unpaid, probably granted unpaid leave, and perhaps require the person as soon as the certificate is issued to inform the employer. So at least in that one sense.
Can you say go and manage and develop something and present it to us? But you must see what is intended.
The
intent
is
No, it's something that you must go and look at. I think you understand the spirit.
Mm.
The spirit says, for you to be removed from the system, you must have been elected. As a principle, it is in line with the Public Service Amendment Act. But at the same time, we take cognizance of your view that this thing is red, it's not a deal. That you are saying that in regulations we want to look at that to ensure that there is a relationship is managed in a way that you like. We are saying, think about, look at everything that is there, think about these ideas, present something to us that's in line, that it might look like this when it comes to regulations. So that we are certain as lawmakers that this relationship is managed. Because even outside work, in the afternoon, people can go and contradict you there. And very strongly, you know, they are heads of department who are actually or officials, even PPG, who can speak like Elro, with the emotions of the masses there. You find that as a minister, you are scheduled, of a scheduled committee, and you find that at the end of the day, you come back and see this guy every day, expert. What's the difficulty to do there on the ground? Now, I think manage it to develop something so that we can do it. Okay. Shift.
No, I think something that's very crucial here. I would say, it's either this or the other. Because we can have it both. I don't think that we're going to do it, but it's either we're amending to be in line with the public service amendment act. Or they have something else. Because when they get the
No, it's fine. I think there's an agreement that people will be released from the service once they are elected. But we're saying that manage the relationship in between once the campaign is developed or develop something in that line. But releasing isn't in line with the process of coming back for you from the service. But in terms of this, then you look at the management thereof. That's what they must present to us when we take the session. We'll dealt with that one. We'll dealt with that one on 13. Then we come to we come to 19, I suppose. Which is raised by advocate at the car to say that a councillor is not enough. It must go on 19B subsection 4 to say that it must go beyond that in looking at the family of the councillor. One. Two, you must say then good or one of them, even if it's one or two, whatever. Then that goes mutantis. It happens here, it happens also on the staff member. As in page 8, section 21, subsection B, subsection 3. That amendment will follow at that level also, in terms of that. Now, I think we are great with that. We are set to step forward and so on.
Yeah, if I can come in this
on that.
Yeah. I agree with the principle, but my only worry is to be careful as to whether we define a family member. Because if we can define what a family member is, why do we do this? Because if you say no counselor or no staff or family member, body in this person. So I was in my car, I didn't remember, there's something else. In other people, I don't remember. I mean, myself, my wife, and my children. Why in my car? I don't remember, there's something else. Now, people putting this there, this was where we're going to care, they don't remember, what you need. Where do you find it? And then in Lamanoe, she said, you can just talk about this one, so I said, yes, yes, what I was saying. But I remember some other people, try to define a certain member, because such a hell of a problem. Some people are a certain member doing something else.
No, I think they must come because you know, in one network, a mayor and a senior official, you know, especially the manager, they get contracts with just children who are school boys. They're given a tender. It's a big thing that is being discussed. That these people are not even working. They are schools, during high school. They are given contracts. Of course, when the mayor says there's no law, that prevents that to happen. But in terms of ethics, unethical, and people are raising it to say, no, it can't be done like this. It's not school children. Not even at the working age, they are running tenders, they are getting rich. No, it's not the mayor who has done it, but it's the son of the mayor and the son of the section 50% of money who are given these tenders while they're school. Of course, they follow the procurement procedures and then. Yeah. But of course, the end product is that the people benefited are these people. excuse me, it's got to be a hot potato. Even at that level, you find that even the political party concerned, it's difficult to engage in this as well. This mayor is a leader, even at the party level. It becomes very difficult when people are gambling and so on. Then they develop the cities, you know, to raise the, you know, this right paper, anonymous people and so on, raise the issues. Now I'm saying, to me, I think, Brenner, you know, these things, I think they are precedent in terms of this code of conduct. They talk about the spouse, the child, and so on, but that was the thing, I mean, that's the direct. But,
I agree with that I'm not sure whether it's an omission. No. In the public amendment text, we were excluding part-time cardinals. Part-time cardinals not now here.
Here, there are specifics in dealing with a person who's employed, staff member, not a public entity. Meaning that they are saying here, if you are employed, you can't be you want to become a counselor. You want to become a counselor. You want to become, you can't know. Before, when you campaign, you won't know whether you're a part-time or a full-time. You won't know. They are saying here, once that happens, then it means once you have a certificate, you must apply. Now, I thought of corrected your said, even if you're a staff member, you can't resign before you are known that you have been elected. Once then people are elected, then they are deployed according to position. Whether you're a mayor, we are a full-time mayoral committee member or executive committee member, whatever. It's another process that no longer involved. At that level, they were dealing with the public facilities, if I remember very well, in terms of what should happen and in councillors and all that. That element is a difference. Here it talks about that if you are a candidate, whether for a council or an SOP or parliament or provincial legislature, and you must resign when you are a candidate. That's what it says. Once you are a candidate, you must resign as a staff member. Now, that's how it is. Yeah. Mamian.
Since we were candidates, I think the majority of them resigned before for campaigning. Most unfortunately, they couldn't make it, and it was tougher because some people left their job, resigned before the list, and only to find that they are 120. And they can't make it. And now they've resigned, they can't go back to teaching again. It was a very chaotic thing in 1994. And if they can consider that, because it did happen in 1994.
And we didn't know this animal.
You know, what came into mind is what happened. I want to before the response check to check it on the phone because I don't think we are very in the I'm also blind. I don't think to agree with the about the good or the I think there is a rather to students in this because if you say all, then you are diluting it. But good is something that I can tell you that is something. If I can get helping, but I think not, that doesn't mean that it's going to say it's coined into a good and service. But if it's going to budget, breaking by department, the outline of the good and service is a shutter that is in that way. And that's the case you can go into that way. But all of you, I can see if I can take away the head to draw the proposal of after fighting is what they would for the previous six days and then that's how it is. But then I'm reflected with you, but I could stop that then. Let's see here.
Before we come to that, Mbana, I think we must go to 17. This one has been looking for some time. It says, I mean, section 106 on investigation, that when they investigate, they inform us within 14 days. But the outcome is not said whatever. Now, there are two things I think that we must look at, which we must discuss currently and friendly. The first thing is that the amendment that has been made is that the copy, a minister on subsection 17C48, can request an investigation if you suspect the suspect of maladministration. Minister. Now I was checking whether probably I suppose that the minister maybe must have some term of office. I was checking whether in the course of investigation of oversight work done by the NCOP, can the NCOP request an investigation? If I go to a municipality, I know Mamanya and Riaz Babut Lapa in the Hoses, and Bombay, going to corruption. If you check your size, you wouldn't want to say corruption. Now, for us to be credible as public representatives in the NCOP as a committee, we must be able to run to Jesus in my time. Now we must have a power in law to request the MEC and say put investigation. Doing a suspicion at all. Kunuga Santuangwa, Santuangwana, something fishy. There. That's the first thing you can see that we're the lawmaker. We can't undermine ourselves when we make a law. We find that our rule is not clearly defined. The second area on C, you know this investigation. Tells you I'm going to investigate the problem with funding. But in law, it doesn't say that after investigation, whatever. Now, I've been reading this thing that must strengthen to say the outcome of the investigation must go to us. You can't tell us that I'm going to fight when you're forced to tell about what happened to the fight. You must support whether you're defeated or you won. Now, it means then this thing where it says the MEC must provide the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Local Government. It must also say that the NCOP in that respect of the investigation about the outcome. But I think also it must include that the steps should be taken. I'm not sure if we'll be stretching too far. Because my friend, some MEC tells you about the outcome, but nothing happens. Or maybe we leave it in law, we deal with it administratively. It's something that we must engage, but I think the involvement of us in terms of requesting that investigation is considered corruption, yeah, I think to me it's important, but at the same time, this thing of the outcome has been informed about. Remember.
Thank you. I did have a bit of a first one where you said you must ask for this investigation, and I can't imagine how many investigations can be taken throughout the different countries. If you say if you are going to ask the PM to investigate instead of doing the MSC. But with the second one, I agree.
Well, you have to remember which area of difference?
The first one, where you said we must be able to say we want an investigation there. I was saying that I think it is correct that the MEC must have that. But the second one of...
Now it says the minister can request the MEC. Not the minister who is investigating. It's the MEC who is investigating. But the minister can request. Now, I'm saying you've gone to Mbombela. You have been told that there's corruption. People tell you, and they present some evidence. It means it's not the NCOP, it means the committee. There's some evidence. Request the NAPC to investigate. Of course, this thing, the committee is not abuse its power that is given in law. And I think everybody always uses this circumstance. And I'm saying, just discuss it. I'm not saying it must be done. I'm putting on the table. That people you go to a Kaweri Baba, they tell you with no this evidence. Are you going to tell them that no, I don't have the power? Can they listen? Can they take you serious tomorrow? But if you have the law to say, okay, I'm good, you request the initiative, and this is forced in law. Of course, it must be based on some criminal practice. Then you are wise with no NEC. There are these allegations that have been presented to us. These are the facts. This is what has been presented to us, the allegations. We request you on the basis of this to check what is happening. Now I'm saying it's something that here is raised here. Because you do more work in this municipality. Going to them and so on, you know what is happening. But I'm saying, it has never happened in my knowledge that power is abused by the Committee of Parliament. But it must be able to request. But present, but let's debate it. Advocate at the
bottom. I just want to say, I raised my concern at the last meeting about these provisions and about specifically, I'm okay that the Minister may request, but if you read it with me, that request actually translates to require, because you're actually saying that there must be a report back. And I raised concerns about the constitutionality of that, but I haven't fully applied my mind, because I think the department is going to be a constitutional...
A reminder about the constitutionality. Let's hear.
I just raised my concern about it. I haven't applied my mind.
No, I'm saying, what was the concern?
My concern was that the MEC, you're talking across tiers of government now, and that there's no reporting structure for the MEC to the minister. And I just had concerns about what the basis would be for that.
For them to report?
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with the word the minister may request the MEC. But if you read it with B, it actually translates into requiring. Because there's a responsibility to report back.
To me, I think advocate there is something that doesn't matter. Because in the eyes of the people, government is one. And if you're the minister who sits in Pretoria or Tswane, things happen in a popular area. You request an NEC to check what has happened. And you find that you don't have the report of what has happened. The public asks it, in that area, what has happened. You say, no, I don't know, I was not given a report. I mean, you can't tell that. But it's not only that. I mean, there are provisions where, in the Systems Act, which was not invoked, I said we invoked it. It says that the MEC must develop state of municipality and give them to the minister. The minister must consolidate and give it to the NCOP. Yeah. 46? 47? Yeah. And then there's a precedent, I mean, that people have requested this local government to take information. It's to ensure that government knows what is happening around itself. But I'm saying then, let's engage. Let's engage them.
I'm just saying, one, let's just look at where that, you're bringing in the NCOP now, at where that oversight responsibility lies.
Yeah, in fact, most of the time, oversight responsibility, although we find that is in two ways with the minister, oversight and ethics. But we find that the NCOP plays more than oversight. Because even in the context of the constitution, in relation to Section 139, we play a role in terms of oversight. I mean, that's what we hear, we're trying to strengthen a bit. But let's see, Babafre, it seems you want to go and campaign yourself there.
You put it to something and I would sit quiet. And I think I mean, like, I just want to comment on your suggestion about the divinity, about the entity of things.
Yeah.
Even the public to reflect and the situation. Now, I think one of the issues that we must have now is the, and obviously this is perennial difficult issues, but I think that's the electricity. One of the issues we must have mind to is, in fact, the role of the executive in relation to the role of the legislature. My very simple understanding is that the executive is there to deal with matters of implementation, testing the reports, acting on those reports, etc., etc. Now, I'm not sure if we were to consider even the authority to the NCOG to request such investigation, whether that now begins to transcend the role of the executive. I'm asking a question here. I'm saying I'm not sure whether it begins to transcend the role. So I'm simply just putting that thinking on the table. But secondly, if the colleague says to us from the Federal Advisor's Office that as constitutional we can do that, and also with a collective wisdom we feel that we are not in the transcending that line, then my second question that arises, Chair, is that if the NCOP has that right in law to request an investigation, then I think we must think through the process of that. Because, for example, one of the things that now comes to mind is, does that mean now that the NEC comes straight to the NCOP and the NCOP needs to report there? Or does it mean now that if the NCOP has the right to request the report, that it still has to come via the executive? So I'm just saying we must think through those kind of consequences. So the first issue is whether in fact we are transgressing that particular line, and I'm simply asking that question so that I'm not sure myself. But secondly, if we are comfortable that's not an issue constitutional otherwise, then my next question is, what are the consequences of that? Is there sort of a subsequent role for the executive union, the ministry, and the department, or do they get bypassed in the administration? So, Chairperson, I am unfortunately just raising questions for the discussion.
Let's put it to the table. In fact, let's put the very of the session. Now. No, in fact, you know, and Madam Pemba, on what is raised by Babu Afrika, I'll come to you. In Mpumalanga, they raised the same issue. They didn't want to come here to say, no, we'll come to the legislature because it's past our budget. And that's where we are totally accounting. It was a big session. The Committee of Finance said we pass the money. If we give you money, you must check out the service. Conditional grant. Then they said we are going to withhold 3 billion. The Minister of Finance was phoning the secretary of the committee many times for the day. The premier was phoning and everybody ran hand of hand. He said, no, in law, in the Business Revenue Act, we are going to withhold 3 billion. You are counselor. Then they knew from that day that the NCOP is strong. They must account it. In the Eastern Cape, you remember when the state law advisor there was telling the committee that no, you must make the department to account only. You don't go to municipality. Because you pass the department, the budget of the department. Remain here. You call them to account the meetings and so on, they go back. But you can't go and check how this money is spent on the ground. When we went there with the Khalani, Khalani was there. We told them there's nothing like that. They are misleading you. Go to the municipality. Now I'm saying, these things happen. And in terms of what happened, of course, I understand the view coming to Africa, which you would want to check with a condo that goes behind his back. You must know everything that happened. So far as concerned. But I think, as we are saying, that we've been doing this thing all the time, we call the parties all the time, we call the enemies, they come and tell us what is happening and so on. And the point to me, I think, is that we have not abused the power in terms of doing things. But more often than not, we are out there in these municipalities. And we are told serious things that are happening. And you find that if you raise these things, the MCs put them at the back of what they are doing. This is far. They don't sometimes not act on them. They will wonder. But if you are empowered in law, to say, as I do oversight, I stumble on some wrongdoing. If I stumble on them, for the public to come against me, I must see is that the executive acts on this thing. That's my responsibility. And when I request that you act, it's not me who's acting. If it's it was us who were acting, then what you are raising in the chapter of the board to say now, we're executing. Our task is to oversight. I can fight things, ask those are executing the execution. And you get the reports and you oversight, Chief.
The third person, as much as Mr. Africa is having questions, I don't know why we should be equivocating about something that is obvious, something that is happening in practice. Because sometimes we boast of being a house that combines all three spheres of government, local government, provincial government, and national government. Now, we sometimes hold public hearings. In those public hearings, we find that there are deficiencies in the operation in one municipality or at another, or in one department or at another. Now, when we compile our report, in our report we make recommendations. Some of those, because we can't investigate anything ourselves, some of those investigations are recommendations. We say we direct or we recommend that certain entity or department should investigate a situation that we discover exists at a particular municipal area or in a particular department. That does happen. It's different from calling for a commission. We don't normally call for a commission. It would be something else. We do call for an investigation. And if you have gone to public hearings and you discover that there are malpractices, maladministration in a particular department or particular municipality, and then those people, the communities that have been complaining, having brought to your attention those malpractices, will, when you come back doing follow-up, want you to pronounce on what actually happened in the matters that they have raised with you, on which you made recommendations that an investigation must be made. And then you can't seem to be saying, well, I don't know what they did about the report that I gave them that had those recommendations that were saying, please investigate this matter and that matter and that matter. I don't think we should be equivocating about this, because that's what we are doing.
I think I just need to strengthen your argument for the real case. And I like always taking back the reality, especially when it comes to the colonel. In prison, in the palace there. My constituents have picked up, and my councillors there have all been informed. There's some things not going right. And I've looked at minutes of the council. I conveyed it to the chairperson. Now we, on our program, we are going for an oversight. Then we get all this evidence. We must be able to submit it to the MEC and request co-investigation. You see, because we're going to have, we must prepare ourselves for a lot of 139 invocations coming. So it's better to prevent, and maybe with this type of investigation and information coming through, to prevent or to advise maybe what type of intervention 139 is taken to the best, which will be the best for the situation and keeping in public participation. So we picked this up early, as the chairperson said. And rather than leaving it and getting worse and getting worse, where you get to an intervention where the municipality is totally dissolved, it's better then to advise the MEC, request and interact. Also, it is the responsibility of us as was outsourced that we go there within 60 days ourselves as the NCOP when that intervention is taking place to approve or to disapprove the intervention. So we also, they already, we are in some authority, we can approve that that intervention 139 or we can disapprove. And then the MEC has no ground for standing. That is what we did in Oakland. So to an extent, we have some teeth. We can, the MEC cannot also just act, but it's more better for us in to have better little bit of teeth. Because now I go back to Prince Albert and they ask me, Novello, what did you do? Then I say, as the chair said, now what do I do? And this thing of a lame duck is going around. So I'm becoming a lame duck. They say, Arman, we won't vote for you. We don't want you. They were taken up. And I mean, taking new elections is around the corner.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think what you said about Novello is quite correct. You know, when there was an intervention in Oslo, it happened because when during the kidney parliament, when the whole parliament went there, and with the Committee of National Assembly, we met with the council. They told the story, which we raised with the MEC, but the MEC, because there was no power really in law, took some time. They went to investigate and put that intervention, that's the 116, 139. But it's us, it means who identified the problem when the people in parliament. Now, in fact, this thing strengthens the members of parliament. It makes them to the peak that if you see wrong to it, you are able to say, go and check. Of course, it is begun by a committee with the NCOP saying, reporting to everybody that this is what it's not individual. Imagine goes to Prince Albert as an individual there and say this is a problem. It must be brought in the structure that says can take it up. Baba U, you think?
I'll tell
you this issue. It was a legal show, no, it's the first time, you know, he says he makes us a bulldog with some teeth. You know, it's a bulldog, but he can't bite.
Yeah,
well,
what should be the condition should be what is considered but if one arm of government sees things happening somewhere and not do anything, they can't do anything about that. So that's it. Not even helping. Not even helping. But if we approach it within that spirit, say, there are one government,
separation of power, but it's a need for all of us to do things outside our people's head. I think that should not be a problem. I think it was a
question. All right. Why did you face
No,
they emphasize our recognition.
So we'll see the minister audit.
Yeah, and so this. Yeah. It's even down there on G.
Down there.
Even down there, it means that people don't wait. But yeah. Now you can improve your, you can support yourself, right? Yeah, I think we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we come with the draft and both, okay? Then we come to 19. Rana raised an issue. An issue on 19 saying advocate at the carriage. There is no agreement with you from Rana. Now, explain yourself then, continue. In terms of your
I think it's a question of saying, you know, you can't be a party to a contract that provides for goods and services. If you say that, then it means you can be a party to a contract that provides only for goods. Or you can be a party to a contract that provides only for services. Because as its word here says, you can't be a party to a contract that's for goods and services. So you can be for goods, you can be for services. But if you say you can't be a party to either a contract for goods or to a contract for services, then you're going to replace your and with all.
I can understand that. So goods or services actually means goods and or. If you use goods and services, it means the two must be together. I'm trying to think of a concrete example now. Say, a municipality puts out a tender for, say, delivery of trucks to pick up waste. So the contract is only to deliver trucks goods. Now there may be another contract where that municipality wants not only the trust but they want consultancy services, they want those people to come and advise them. So there are things that will be done besides the trust. So that is a situation where it's goods and services. So I think what the colleague was trying to explain is that we're trying to be as broad as possible in our definition. Different levels of my account. So the one is definitely broader. So the proposal is say all is good and all. If you just add and, then you say that the two must go together and it's a narrow definition.
I think
what's
the case. I think Mr. Chair, if you just in your mind put the word either, then it kind of clarifies it. So if you say you can't benefit from either a contract for goods or a contract for services, or both, obviously, because it is the all-inclusive.
Okay, can I just yes. In the writing of English, you can put and stroke or.
Oh, yeah.
You can, but the understanding of the legal convention is that you use the word or to refer to the and or. That's the legal convention.
But well, there's still no
attention
here.
Teacher, legal, but in legal, there's court cases about that.
It creates confusion and it gives the reader an opportunity to elect one because the track means It's either the one or the other. So you can elect which one suits you.
I think the term now needs to be used and so forth. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. So the only even a good answer means that no councillor may be a party or beneficiary in the context of the provision of goods plus services. So there must be goods and there must be services. Where if you put all, he may not enter into the context of service or for goods.
Yeah, they are saying in terms of the law.
Because
you're leaving a gap. No, they are saying that, Mr. West, in legal terms, as a bush lawyer, I'm afraid of asking, that was developed in the bushes. Is that it is not necessarily the same when you write it in law, or means both. It means both. Yeah, or means or end. Therefore, it catches everything. Even if they are married, or if it's one of them, it's covered. That's how it is. Now, it means then when you say or, it's a wider net that catches everything in legal terms. Therefore, it's not a problem in a way to say. Brenna?
No, again, when we just tried to look at other legal cases, we look at the NHMA in 2003, and there's a chapter 11 there. The chapter is called Good and Services, but I just also read one clause here. There's 110 and subsection 2. Where specific supervisor otherwise does not apply, if a municipality or municipality contracts with another organ of state for, and this is the provision of goods or services to the municipality. So the point is they can use their goods or kind of services. Yeah, but now it is also pointing out that higher up they say that this part of the NHMA is in terms of the procurement by municipality of goods and services.
Although I don't have a formulation as of now, I think it is our intention that we demystify the law. If at this level we are not sure of what this means, then it means that there must be a new formulation that an ordinary person will understand clearly. There must be certainty. I think that is what we are working towards. If at this level we are not sure whether it is this or that, then it means that formulation, that drafting is defective. And therefore, our legal advisor should go and reformulate this in such a way that an ordinary councillor down there, I'm sorry to say ordinary, okay, I'm also an ordinary member. If here we are in doubt as to what this means, whether it means this or that, then it means there's something defective in the drafting. And I would propose that they must go and think about a simpler formulation of this
problem. Anyway. I think when you come with the white paper, the law that comes out of that, you look at that formulation. You could give you time, but let me just got input from the people out there. I think we've covered that aspect. Then we say that it must be done this, and at the same time we're saying then we look at this thing of ensure that you need the assembly member. I'm benefiting. So look at that. which is in it, I think there's a definition.
Okay. I've got a point.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to draw a similarity with something else, where throughout the time when it was said, if you are being in your department, you can't employ somebody who is being. It was the case. I'm mentioning a particular thing because it happened with that person. Only to find that this being that is being employed in the office of another being have got different clan names. Only they have got one clan name. And then it raised a storm that him was employing the thing. Anyway, I'm not there. Now, let's talk about a family member. He's a family member that is under 21 years. He is a family member that is over 21 years, who is independent, who is living an autonomous life, no longer connected to the father and mother, having nothing, benefiting nothing from the mother, from the father and mother. Father and mother are living on their own. He is living on his own. He has reached majority. He is independent. He is working for himself. He can look for opportunities anywhere. Now, to say he cannot benefit where his father is a counselor becomes upset. It becomes upset. This person, yes, he is my child. But he has reached majority, he has left my home, he is staying alone, he is independent, he has got nothing to do with my family, I mean with my property, he's benefiting nothing yet, I'm benefiting nothing from him. You see, that has got to be considered as well. Because there comes a stage where you are totally independent from your family, even if you call them your father and mother.
Thank you. You know, there's something called that, people say that the blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
The blood runs in your veins, wherever you are. Of course, when an opportunity is presented, you will always consider your family above any other person, hidden opportunity, nothing.
Yeah,
now, because we know that human beings, there's fallibility on human beings.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to address this fallibility,
yeah,
by putting a law to ensure that this is not done. I mean, I made a classical case where that boy who's at high school, they are benefiting them. To society that we are trying to create high moral value, it becomes a problem. Colleague, I think we'll be able to this one. So you must apply my standards and standards.
Yeah, I'm saying that
I'm not from Pumala. I mean, you are not sure. You are not sure.
because they are both the ministers. When we went for the court, I asked the minister, or I asked the minister who was sitting together, I said, why do you have the CGT asking the Dalit? She said to me, you know, when we are in president, they call us Dalit both. Now, you hear, Dalit both in president. I was asking her, why do you need an you can't stop that. It's I'm glad there's no media here. You said it was a... Now, in the airport now, airport, take care of the airport. I mean, the union wanted to take care of the airport. You know why? Because now the system is supplying food for all the airport lines. They help it. It's a good animal. This is what they say. Why is it in the airport? Now, this system is giving to the airport of all the people. You know, it's a very big issue now. When you know the question is the one, it's like both of them. Said, no, they give it to them, in fact, both of them. By the way, I said, offer for them. Yeah. So I just want to say, you know, both sides of the coin. I mean, there's a problem in that coin. But let them go and move it to this thing and come to that and come back for 10 minutes.
No, that's fine. I think we have come to the conclusion on this discussion. Do you want to raise something with this?
Oh, yeah. See, we also, when we were discussing the issue of the funding that came up,
yeah.
And we discussed the national strategy. National strategy is called supply chain management. It's got all the rules about who participates and how they participate. And one of the things about participating when you're awarding is that you must disclose your interest. And we thought that, you know, if a person is asked to disclose, that's the opportunity to disclose whether or not a relative or something is paying for it and so forth. And that way you can begin to make a judgment call on the ground about whether or not it's and if they don't disclose, then of course, in terms of that particular law, then the normal legal process would be like, you know, investigation by, you know, the authorities, and they know if they did something untoward. So we don't do that. But essentially, I think the key thing is here is just, no matter who is bidding for the contract, that is that there's no irregularity. We try to avoid the irregularity in financial management.
Fine. No, I think we agree then that go and look at them for them to have
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to indicate that or to draw your attention that this is actually prohibiting any participation in the sector of contract for any municipality. And I don't know if hearing the concerns if the committee really wants that broad, if it's only the municipality to which that person is associated. Because that would prevent you from being a beneficiary in respect of contract for any municipality, even where you have no influence possibly. I mean, it's just a policy consideration that must be.
In fact, I think what you should do, you must get the regulations of Mr. Munga, of the Minister Munga. Well, they understand them, they are broad. They say that a public rep, and I think we're a staff member, can't benefit from anything of dealing with government. Probably that. But let's have that, so we don't talk about something that we don't have.
in fact, it assists. Because we might find that next year we might want to join civil society there. Then we must know that what are the regulations of government. Now I think let's look at that. Let's do that. Then what will happen also is that I think we are coming to the conclusion for today on this matter. That was what will happen thereof is that we will engage tomorrow. Possibly we'll bring other experts to engage on the other matters that have been raised in this day. Of course, we have deviation from one or not getting music. We're engaging what is the music and trying to make it better. We'll do that and ensure that we continue that engagement tomorrow. Of course, under having formalized the thing, discussion with all, make amendments and all that things that has to be done. And hopefully we'll be able to find each other in the process. But I think the spirit within which the discussion that's gone on for today is quite good. It's progressive, it's taking us forward.
I thought something before we do the discussion, the agenda. I might not respond to this question, but I want to raise something on the social issue. It's a little bit of just a reason why, because I still not quite agree with you, sir. But a person appointed to the head of this section for a local minister must within 60 days after his or her appointment declare inviting the chairperson of Dragada. Now, I'm just thinking the logic that you are appointed on other 50 days must be late. Why? Because I thought that you would be clear upfront.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens, you are doing the appointment knowing that I got this in one. But they must appoint you first, and after 50 days, appointment must be late. And after you sign all these things, once you remove him from the scene, not me. As I said, they might not respond now, because I just asked you to put the three things to the back door. But they can go and...
Yeah, then next time respond, note it down, respond in the next round, tomorrow. And we look at that. Colleagues, I think we're coming to the end of our session for today. We are saying then, we'll be engaging on these things, hearing the views that you are presenting in terms of what you have said must be amended, bringing some experts to take up issues here, trying to make it better, approach. Now, that's what will happen to this meeting. It means this round is closed. To colleagues who are supposed to be in a meeting in the afternoon, I got an apology from the MEC in Mabuyakuru office. He says that he's overseas, which we knew, and he cannot be able to send anyone to represent him tomorrow. And he requests that we send another date from next week onward. Now, I spoke to the office of Mabuyakuru, my son, and they said the MEC was acting, a woman. They agreed that to Kar. In terms of coming to present this thing today at 2. But I think maybe they felt otherwise. You know, sometimes, when you are a MEC, you feel with, you want to come yourself. But some issues become very... This committee, is people tend to respect it. That it is asking pointed and probing questions. Now, when you send a person that you are not sure who's not running the portfolio, I think then they did a second thought. Was it enough until the weekend? I knew that they were coming, and this letter is quite shocking. Now, it means then that gives us an opportunity that people will be reading documents. I'll send some documents, which you have to look at in preparation for the engagement tomorrow that we have in relation to this issue. It means then it gives us that opportunity to be able to, so that tomorrow we're able to engage quite thoroughly, because these documents are quite long. It means people are great this afternoon. We are meeting again tomorrow. Where is this? V226. It's a better venue than the comparison school. Okay. 226. And the yeah. Okay. 9 is too early. 9. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. 10 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah. It means the meeting is at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And the lunch, a very nice lunch is served at Mark's building from now. We try to get a venue here, the first closed. They are not being opened yet. That side at all the same, they said no, they are full. Then we are moving to Mark's building, which I think is more nicer than the old affair.
They are food.
They are food. Now, thank you very much, Elrod. You must have your team and show that tomorrow come follow in response to our issues here. Thank you very much. We need to go to the again. But I want to MC Mazelo, MC members must remain.
Yeah.